right, welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Glad that you are here on this day and time. Today, I want to share with you the theme, nothing can hold us back. Nothing can hold us back. And to see how God is at work in that regard, we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Luke 8, 26 through 39. And then Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. I'm going to point to just a couple of those verses for you. So today, the section of scripture we're covering in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus heals the Gerasene demonic. And this is quite the story. It can be a confusing story too. Kind of snaps your head to say, what? Say what? Say what just happened there? And so we're going to take a look at it and see how we can live in light of the good news. Remember, the gospel, when we look at the gospels of Jesus, it points to good news. And a number one question we should always ask, what good news can we take from it and walk around with in our daily living? And so I'm going to send you out with some good news. So here's the verses from Luke chapter 8. They then arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. So this was a Greek culture, a Greek town. And as he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Yes, the gospel of our Lord. There's a whole lot there, folks. Meat and potatoes. Lots of good stuff. Well, in this text, we find that Jesus is again out in this Greek countryside. And we hear Jesus encounter with a man who's filled with these, quote, demons. Something that's possessing him. Something that has power over him. Something that has a voice over him. And the residents of that area, you see, had kicked the man out to live in the tombs far away from people. And this is still customary today in so many parts of our world. People are driven out to the far edges, to the out-of-the-way places where most people don't want to go. This is why we still have leper colonies in the world, or even in countries like India, where we serve all the time, children and women with AIDS are are cast out into the outer wilderness area, and their home has to be X amount of distance away from anybody else's home because people don't want to, quote, catch it in the air. There's all these misunderstandings and misconceptions, but humanity lives in fear so often of the other, so we drive people out. We drive people away. We isolate. This is true in Jesus' day. It's still true in our day in which we live. And that's a sad way in which to live. Well, when Jesus shows up here to this man, the demon is the first to recognize Jesus. It wasn't the man who recognized, it was this demon speaking out through this man. They recognized this Jesus and then begged for Jesus not to cast him into the abyss. Don't send me out of this person. I've taken up residence here. I can move around easy with this person. I can speak out in different ways through this person. I can control and manipulate this person. If you cast me out, then I will lose my power. Seems like something out of a Hollywood movie, right? Well, Jesus commands the demon, however, not listening to that voice, to come out of the man and to go into those pigs. And the pigs go running off into a steep bank and into the water below, where they end up drowning. The people tending the pigs witness everything, and they run to town to tell everyone what they had seen. Now, you got to have a stop here, because the people who own the pigs, this would be very upsetting to them, right? This was their livelihood. This was their job. And why would these pigs do such a thing? Obviously, Jesus caused a disruption within that community. And not everybody was benefiting from his actions. So there is a question here, right? Well, the people from the town, they came out to see what had happened and to see this, quote, Jesus, who they maybe had not met before. And they were surprised and shocked to find the man who was there possessed by the demons now just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Remember, they had cast him out before. Now they're going out to where they had cast him out to see what was really going on. There is a reversal happening. And here's this one sitting there with Jesus. And so it said in that text there that the people became very afraid. Isn't that interesting? They were more comfortable with the demons that had control of this man and driving this man out than they were now seeing Jesus and this man sitting there in conversation. Again, because they hadn't figured Jesus out. They couldn't figure out what his, quote, power or authority was, or how this was even possible. So they were afraid. And so they begged Jesus, please leave us. Get out of here. We don't want you around here. And Jesus does. He heads out. The man whom Jesus had taken the demons out of wants to stay with Jesus as he leaves, but Jesus tells him, yeah, you can't stay with me. This is your community. This is your world here. So Jesus tells him just to go back to his house and to tell everyone what God has done in that place. And again, certainly people would be overwhelmed. Certainly they wouldn't understand. And sadly, our guess would be, if we'd read between the lines a little bit, this man still would not have been accepted. Because you can't possibly be healed. We've known you this whole time. You've had these demons. Yeah, it looks like you're better, but something is off. And by the way, we don't know this Jesus and the power of this Jesus. So he most likely was, again, driven out. We can hope not, but human response to or within fear is often to drive someone away. Well, we all have, quote, demons in our lives, things that are stumbling blocks, things that speak out and through us. And our demons come in the form maybe of our stuff or our time, our resources, the fear of the unknown even. We still have those fears of things that seem beyond us. And it seems our world is getting a little bit more hyped up around that fear of the unknown versus saying now is our opportunity to learn. Now is our opportunity to know and to be fully known, right? That's a process. But Jesus, I think, wants to enter into whatever demons is that we have, and Jesus wants to cast them out of our life so that we're not going to ever be restricted by them. Jesus wants to free us Jesus doesn't want to see us chained up. I mean, look over and over and over at what Jesus does. He releases people. He sends people. He brings life to people. He's not shackling them and chaining them. He's taking away that what holds them back. And you see, God wants us to lead lives that are free of whatever demons that plague us, that plague this world. So how do we do that, right? I think we got to name them. I think we have to speak about them. We have to come really honest about them and then ask for God's help in the middle of our mess to work through that, to figure that out. Well, as we look at the text that goes along with this from Galatians 3, 23 to 29, Paul is making the case here that all of creation is related to God through Christ. Again, that there's a oneness of creation. So going back to the gospel or holding this together, what affects one affects everyone else. What pulls people away from community will continue to draw others away from community. But Paul wants to see how all of creation is related to Christ and how we're brought into life in Christ, not based upon just what we do, but what God is doing in Jesus. And Jesus is always doing a new thing. And so to cast out those demons, to free somebody, is to let that person to be made new. And so in these verses here, he talks a little bit about before faith, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. These are powerful words because remember people's mindset, their theological understanding, their way of being was often so limited. So he says, before faith, we were imprisoned and guarded. The law spoke. There was no grace. There was no new life. But now Jesus is revealing this. So it's Jesus who comes to make us new. And then he says in verse 26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. And then here's these verses that you know well. There is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You're heirs. You're those descendants like the stars in the heavens. You are made for community, made for life, to produce life in the world. And you are clothed with Christ. So your identity isn't about the things of the world. It isn't about the demons that seek to hold on to you or the things that shackle or chain you. It's about Christ. It's about being clothed with Christ, being made new in Christ. Your identity comes from God, which is child of God, named and claimed, loved, resurrected, made new. And so it's not about the world's identities. It's about what God does within you. And so when you look at another human being here in the week ahead and the days ahead, look to see God within. When you share in conversation with somebody who maybe you don't fully understand, look to see and hear God within. See how God speaks, see what God does, see this new thing maybe that God is bringing into your life in that shared conversation. There's a lot for us, but remember that God truly is the source of power and grace in the world, freeing us for full life. And with that, that means that nothing, truly nothing, can hold us back. May you hold on to that and live. All right. Stay thirsty, my friends.